a kind of a special day and one that we have set aside to celebrate, look back over the past ministry year, which sort of helps us to begin to turn the page towards a new ministry year. And one of the things that we have noted is that you heard Ian just pray it, but this is the 20th year anniversary of Hope. Hope is now out of our teens, and we have moved into the 20 years. And it's good to look back and celebrate. And in Deuteronomy chapter 8, there's a verse that I would like to share, because God instructs his people to recall all of his marvelous works. Verse 2 in Deuteronomy 8 says, "And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years, or in our case, these 20 years. I'd like to use that as an invitation today to invite you to remember all that the Lord has done. And it is good for us to remember. God does not want us to forget what he has done, which we are prone to do. How many of you can remember what he did last week? I forget so easily. And so we are instructed often in his word to remember his wondrous works, to recount his glorious deeds, to tell of his wondrous works among the nations. That's part of our corporate worship, is to proclaim what God has done, because we forget. And it is dangerous when we do forget. If you keep reading through chapter 8 in Deuteronomy, verse 11 says, "Take care lest you forget the Lord your God." Means be careful. Take care. When you take care about something, you guard against it. You're watchful. You figure out, how can I avoid this? If you have fallen on the ice and you know the painful experience it is when you land on the ground, you take care the next year to think, I'm not going to do that again. We need to take care. And we go on and keep reading in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Verse 14 says, "Then your heart will be lifted up, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery." So there's a point in remembering what God has done. There's warnings that horrible things happen if you fail to remember what God has done and from where he has brought you. And remember, one of the things that we're doing here is to recount what the Lord has done. So in just a few minutes, we're going to invite some folks to come and share about what the Lord has done in their lives through the ministry of this church. Not necessarily a recounting of the history of the church, so you're not going to hear all the details about how everything got started, but what you're going to hear is what has happened in the lives of these particular people through the ministry of this church. And we want to share that, because remembering what God has done in the past is the divine antidote to the sinfulness of a proud heart. So we're recounting what God has done, because we didn't get here on our own. The Lord brought us here. Remember all the ways that I have led you, is what the scripture encourages us to do. So that's what we're going to do this morning. And I'll share who's going to come in just a few minutes. But another verse struck me this week as we're sort of looking back over the past year. Proverbs 3:27 says, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it's due when it is in your power to do it." And there's two people that I would like to mention this morning. And this is always risky, right? There's 1,000 of you who give 1,000 man hours behind the scene. And you think, why don't they say something to me? I completely understand that. And my intention is not at all to offend any of you. We're grateful. We're a body, right? I mean, the fingers can't say to the toes, man, we're doing really good without you guys. We wouldn't be the body that we are without every one of us. But in particular, I would just like to say thank you to a couple people. And Gerald Knight, would you mind me embarrassing you? And I know you're going to kick me and tell me later, why did you do this to me? But I just want you to come up here. And Gerald has been serving as the overseer of the Welcome Ministry for, what, 2 or 3 years? 4 years, okay. And I think that's worth at least saying a card and just putting him before you and saying thank you. So thank you. I knew it. See, I told you. We just want to say thanks. Gerald's the last person who would want to be brought up in front of somebody and paraded across the stage, but I did it anyway because I love you, and I just want to say thanks. And there are many of you who serve in many ways, but I can't ignore that verse. When it's within your power to do something honorable to someone, you do it. And so it is within my power. And if you think that's an abuse of power, talk to me later. But I just want to pray for you and thank God for you. Father, thank you so much for Gerald's heart and his compassion for making people feel welcome at this church. I ask you to pour out your blessings upon him. And in whatever phase of ministry you will take him next, we ask that you would lead him with great clarity. Bless him and Anne and their relationship, their marriage. And I pray that you just smile on him. But we love him and just want to stand before you and say, Father, thank you for Gerald. It's your name I pray. Amen.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome. Gerald is no longer coordinating the welcome ministry, and Michael Bradford has now stepped into that particular role. And so we need to pray for Michael. I'm not going to bring him up on stage, but keep him in prayer as we begin to look for a new ministry year of inviting new folks and making everyone who comes here welcoming without pressuring them, but letting them know that they're loved. So we'll pray for Michael in that regard. And there's somebody else that would like also to just to make note of. It was about 5 years ago that Ian came on staff full-time as a vocational person. So, Ian, I'm going to parade you up here. And come on. We have a little gift for you to say thank you, and you can open it later. But I know every one of you, if you were given the opportunity or the time, would be able to share long paragraphs of how Ian has ministered in your lives. Many of you have been surprised by Ian's wisdom and his insight and his ability to help through difficulties and problems. And just coming in the door, somebody shared with me, had a situation this week, and I called Ian. We talked on the phone, and he prayed with me, and I knew what the answer was when I left. So God uses you again and again and again in a million ways, and you were on staff on a volunteer basis a year prior to coming on staff on a paid basis, and he's willing to serve at no cost for that year, and fortunately the Lord blessed the church to be able to compensate him in a very small way and yet not to the degree that we ought to. And yet, I'm all the better for having served beside him. Besides my wife, he's my best friend.
You're lucky.
So, it is my pleasure to serve alongside of him and to serve you with him. And there's nobody else I know of in any ministry in the world that I'd rather serve with than Ian Whitfield. So, can I pray for you? Even if you say no, I'm going to anyway. Father, thank you so much for this man. And I thank you for the way that you have created him. I thank you for the way that you have used him to bless so many other people through their lives. Thank you for the patience that you've given him, the generosity of spirit and of his resources that he has been able to share with all of us. He is a deep blessing to this church. We are all the better for his service. Lord, I pray that you would continue to use him for many, many more years and pour out your blessings upon him during these days. And I ask that your grace would shine through him just as your love does. Continue to allow him to have insight into people, to pour into them and to direct and instruct and nurture and disciple. I thank you for his heart. Everybody in this place loves him. And Lord, we just stand before you and say, thank you, God, for giving Ian Whitfield to this church. In your name I pray, Jesus. Amen. Just one more time, say thanks to Ian. So we want to pause just for a few minutes and mark the 20 years that we have been in existence. And what we have done is basically we've divided, we've taken five-year chunks. So we have 4 5-year chunks of time. And we've invited someone who began attending the church from those five-year chunks. So we have 4 couples who are going to come and share. Bob and Diane Zickel have been around from the beginning, so they're going to come first. The next phase, and then you guys can just come right after each of them share. The next phase was Jeff and Kashana Bell, who came and served and are still here, and it's so wonderful. The third, from 2003 to 2008 range, was Dave and Sandy Butters who came. And then finally, we'll invite Paul and Anina Ananth to come after that. So Bob and Diane, and then Jeff and Kashana, Dave and Sandy, and then Paul and Anina. So would you come and share whatever it is that the Lord has laid upon your heart to share?
I like your new haircut, by the way. I just want to start off by saying I think it's unfair to ask the oldest of the presenters to go back the furthest. Thank you, Ian. I guess I just want to give testimony to how faithful and steadfast God is. And just to let you all know, God's hand has just been on this community of believers since the very beginning. Even before then, that prayer has been the foundation of this community, and it all began with Ruth and Dave Chamberlain, who, way before we started 20 years ago, were faithful in praying for a Bible-believing, Christ-centered church in Winchester. I guess I'll just go back a little, it's a little bit of history, but first, Bob and I, our journey to this place, we were both from a religious background with ritual, and then we found ourselves in a place of a large Christian community, 2,000 plus believers over in Lexington, and we're there for about 10 years. And in that time, Winchester had a very strong small group from that. There were about 13 families. We met regularly. We became very close. But God's hand was in all of that because he knew that we were going to need a strong, stable group to begin what is now Hope Community, Hope Christian Church. So there were about seven families that through circumstances, we just began meeting on Sunday evenings. We actually were a home church, which was wonderful. The children, we all gathered. That was great until the police showed up. And knocked on the door and wanted to know. Neighbors were complaining about this group that was meeting on Sunday evenings and filling the streets with cars and wanted to know what we were doing. And the hostess very gently told them that we were singing and praying and meeting together as they kind of backed away from the front door and apologized. That made Dave Chamberlain very nervous. from a legal aspect. So we quickly found another home for ourselves, which was at a local elementary school, Lynch School, which, again, we had kind of eyes overseeing us, but it was a great place for us to grow. The children ministry, that's one thing we've always had was a wonderful children's ministry right from the beginning. We were a proliferate group back then and still are anyways. But then we were praying about having, another place here in town, but we were always looking at buildings on the periphery of Winchester, whether it was an old hardware store that had closed up, but parking was always, going to be an issue. But God knew that was his hand. He knew that he wanted us right in the center of town with probably the largest brought mature, godly men to form this church, to look to God for direction, for guidance, for wisdom. And he's just continued to do it throughout. For me, that was important, that we had leadership that we could trust. There isn't a time I have not trusted the men God has put in this place. We've had like any community, the good, the bad, and the ugly at times, mostly good. But they have been stood strong. They were courageous. They had to make decisions sometimes that were difficult, but they made them and made us better for them, I believe. But, you know, God blessed us at the beginning. We had a biblical scholar, believe it or not, who was part of the church, who was able to help us, guide us as far as, you know, we wanted to look like an Acts church community. Worship music has always been wonderful here. I think of our first worship leader who actually was, you know, played for the Boston Symphony Orchestra. And we used to sing a song about once a month called Life is a Symphony. And we'd go back and forth, life is a symphony. Anyways, so, you know, we always were looking to God. And he was always going before us. He was always at our right side, and he always has been our rear guard. The other thing is reaching in. I think about the sweet, sweet fellowship that we've had right since the beginning. You can imagine seven families. We did everything together. We just had a lot of fun. We had a tacky party that was, I haven't been to one since, but it was, we wore the tackiest thing we could find, and we made the tackiest food we could make. We did karaoke together. We did lots of fun things. But at the same time, when we needed to come together and pray about something, that was always one of the first things that we went to. It was always been foundational. And, you know, just myself, I have just had the privilege and the blessing of being part of the prayer team at times and being able to pray with people, but also I have received prayers in very powerful ways as far as my own, some inner healing that went on. I think of just my own children that, you know, came through here. You know, it was a sacrifice. We came from a big church. There was all kinds of youth groups, and we were coming here to a very small community. I think one of the reasons my oldest daughter became a pediatric nurse, I would like to think, is that, you know, she and I did Sunday school together for the little 2 to 5-year-olds, and she was like a Pied Piper. They loved her, and she loved them. And then just reaching out. Missions right from the get-go was important for this church. And as you can see, all the missionaries. But it was a major priority for us to be mission-minded, both internationally and locally. So for me, this has been a spiritual home for a very long time. I am very grateful for my spiritual family. Because as we all know, our own family sometimes can, but this has been just a real place of safety, security, trusting, and just, you know, watching, like I said, watching God just have his hand all over us all these years.
My turn. I accepted the Lord in 1990, so I was a relatively new Christian in 93 when the church started. At that time, I couldn't imagine what these people were talking about, saying we're called to start a church. To me, I was more interested in not missing the football games on a Sunday afternoon. But I went along with it, as everyone seemed very enthusiastic. I didn't realize at all what God had in store for me, but he was building the foundation of my faith. And hope is what he used to do that. Many of you found yourselves under false teaching or gospel variants that are problematic. But I'm fortunate that all my years as a Christian, basically, have been here at Hope, where truth is taught and preached above all else. Back then, I had a first-hand experience. I attended all the elders' meetings And I can testify that the Hope's elders have always prayed faithfully for the congregation. They'll always serve the congregation to the best of their ability. And above all, strive to interpret the Bible truthfully and accurately. No one's ever looked for wiggle room here at Hope. The elders have always strived to be the men that we're commanded to be in Timothy and Titus verses. For me, I had to see Christ modeled in other men's lives for it to attract me first to Christianity and then to help me mature in my Christian walk. It's been key for me for all these years, and someday I hope that I can be a man that a younger Christian would look at and say, hey, that seems to work for him. Someone once asked me, how do you get to be leader of the operating committee, you know, like it was this lofty job? And my answer was, well, you've got to develop some all-around skills, you've got to be diplomatic with people, and you've got to be content working behind the scenes. Back in 93, the elders were doing all the heavy lifting, preaching, teaching, developing the bylaws, statement of faith, the core values. But there was no one to do the budgets, the accounting, the fellowship, and the hospitality. And they didn't seem that interested in those roles either. So I stepped in. I remember there were only six or seven of us men back in those days. I stepped in and kind of filled in the gaps behind the scene. And here I am 20 years later. I think Dave Chamberlain and I are the only ones who have been in our same job for 20 years here at the church. But fortunately, it's not up or out, right, Dave, here at Hope Church. In God's economy, he's never concerned about the values in the secular world. And he's always, whatever skills you can bring to the table, the Lord is content to have you exercise them. And in those days, I didn't have much of a heart. As Diane would tell you, that distance of 18 inches between my head and heart was a very long, long path. I think working as a servant here at the church helped me in that way, but also Ian helped me. He took on the task, one-year task, meeting me weekly, working on a book that would help me connect the two. And I can say today that there are a couple of little trails that are connected, and a combination of this church and your faithfulness, Ian, have helped me in that regard. I jumped off script here, but I wanted to say that my job has gotten much easier over the years. Other ministry leaders and staff have come in, and as we've grown, but I marvel, Dave, at you. You're still, your job's gotten harder. And that's where the true leadership here is at the church, in the servant role. And I hope that that's an example that many others will follow as the years, because we certainly have a scarcity of help. And I just encourage everyone to jump in wherever they can. And I'm going to sum it up with a passage from Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we all ask for or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us, be all the glory in the church and Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Thanks, Bob and Diane. Jeff and Kishona.
Hey there. So for myself, as I looked out over the years of 1998 to 2003, there are numerous examples of how we have been blessed by this church. Unfortunately, our family is a little on the needy side, and we've been the recipient of much grace, prayer, and tangible help over those years and since. There is the mission trip to Haiti, the infamous mission trip to Haiti, in which I got seriously dehydrated and suffered pretty significant heat stroke. And if it weren't for Diane Zickel and Suzanne, I don't know that I would be here. They really took care of me. It was pretty bad, quite frankly. The Zickels have actually been used by God numerous times. Bob Zickel was the one to diagnose my preeclampsia all four times before my doctors did. He is the one. So, and then there was Diane, who continually would come and take care of me and reprimand me for not being compliant, taking my blood pressure, telling me to get back to bed, etc. In addition to the help from them, we've received help. I was on bed rest all four times. That's not normal. We have no family here, and this church stepped in and took care of us every single time. From meals to coming and taking care of the kids and I when I was on strict bed rest. Doug and Alani decorating the nursery for Matthew when I went into the hospital unexpectedly and had to give birth early. Came home and my nursery was completely done. That alone has been a huge testimony to others outside of Hope. When they hear that we had no family here, that I was on bed rest all four times, and that people from Hope were the ones who actually took care of us, they've been amazed. So it's been a huge testimony to those outside of this church. We also bought our first house during that time that required significant work. Ian, you probably remember that. Ian and Doug, in particular, worked with Jeff and Ray Bandai to work on our house. And that house required a lot, a lot of work. And during that time, Doug and Alani took Jeff and I, along with two little boys, into their home for months. Not just weeks, but months. So this church has, again, prayed for us and has been there for us in very tangible ways. So thank you.
Look at you with your digital notes. That's really impressive. So it's amazing. It's been 15 years. I'm not sure. For those of you who don't know me, I'm loud, and I'm also, except for that, and I'm also a type A. So when we first started coming to the church, we came because there was a need for a youth ministry. There wasn't a youth ministry at the time, we'd come out here from the Northwest so I could train to be a minister. So we thought it was a good opportunity for us to be able to plug in and do something pretty cool. And I'm the type of guy where I like to be able to make an impact. So it was a great opportunity for me. So 98 to 2000, we're doing some great things and plugging in the youth ministry. Kids like us. We like the kids. Everything is great. And toward the tail end of that, I think God was starting to actually really help me grow and mature in understanding and appreciating the body of Christ. And it actually started when we first got married, because Kashana, and she'll tell you this, she had a lot of work with me to try and help me understand and appreciate other people, because I'd be so focused, I'd just miss them. And toward the tail end of 2000, Ray and Andy at the time sat me down and said, you know what, I think it might make sense for you to actually just pull back from your ambition to be in a ministry right away and actually spend time to just grow. And as I was trying to think of the verses to kind of capture that and the rest of what God's been doing through at least my life in the last 15 years, My attention actually went to Romans 12, 3 through 5. And I'm the guy that actually focuses on 1 through 2. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Boom. Yeah, pow. I love that. But 3 through 5 hasn't really been so much my radar. But Paul went on to write, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." And I think you've heard a couple of times that there's like this body element, that we are a really neat fellowship, and it's true. I didn't really capture that at the time, but as I've been growing, God's been able to give me opportunity to be able to appreciate more and more. Kashana mentioned our first house. I was pretty excited about the house. I was not a fixer-upper. I just had no idea. I mean, she characterized how much work it needed. Let me describe it for you. So it's 1,000 square feet. It had a crawl space that flooded a lot. The washer and dryer were in the crawl space. And I didn't think that was that big a deal. The drain was not connected to the tub. There were a couple of floor joists that were not connected to each other. For those of you who do not know, that's a problem. And we just had a ton of people rally around us to help us. And there's been a lot of other opportunities like that, too, that Kashana also observed as well. It's been tough, but it's also been really important, because I'm a guy that I like to serve. I don't want to be served. But in being in a position where we have been served, it's been able to at least help me appreciate how significant and important it is to be a member of a true body. And I think God has done some pretty cool things here. He's really established a spirit where there is fellowship and community and accountability and care. And that's not trivial. It's really actually been very, very much of a blessing in our lives. And it's also been, I think, a blessing for us as a family, too, because our kids have an opportunity now to be able to see God in action through one another. And it gives him an opportunity to be able to just manifest himself in ways that are just real. So we've been blessed. These last 15 years have been pretty cool in ways that we wouldn't have planned, but we're very thankful for it.
Thanks, man. So we'll move to 2003 to 2008. Dave and Sandy.
Thanks, Todd. So I just want to say what they said absolutely is one of the reasons that we landed and stayed here at Hope. But it all started in actually October of 2004 after we had been attending Grace Chapel for a number of years. And We were looking for a smaller, more community-based church where we could get to know people instead of just waving to them as we're passing in the from service to service. And so we decided to try Hope. So we came here, and over to Dave.
Yes. So on October 3rd, 2004, we decided to come to Hope Christian Church. And as Todd has stated just earlier, that the Lord led us here. We didn't come here. The Lord led us here, obviously. And I remember walking up the stairs being very anxious and opening the sanctuary door and just looking around and having everybody looking at you, staring at you like, what are you doing here? But it was not the case at all. The first person we met was Andy Mills, and he just came over to us and talked about the church, talked about his faith, and just made us feel so welcomed. And we just knew right off the bat that the Spirit of God was moving in this church. And so we sat down in the front, and Hope Noe was sitting next to us. And I had to say a corny joke. I said, is this your church, Hope? It's corny. She laughed, and I was glad she did. So Ray Bandai was sitting in the front row, too, and he turned around, and he made us feel so welcomed. And we just knew the Spirit of God was moving in this church. And a few years ago, I heard Rick Warren say that when a person visits your church, within the first 7 minutes, they'll know if they're going to return or not. And the first 7 minutes here at Hope was a blessing. We just knew right off the bat. But we still had to talk about it. And we sat through the service, and Ray's teaching was awesome that day. And the music was just wonderful. We had Sarah and Allie Whitfield singing beautiful harmonies, and the songs were just great songs. A lot of the songs were from the Purpose Driven Life CD, because you guys were going through the Purpose Driven Life book at that time. And we just loved the songs. And I see Karen Veramonte out here, and we actually went to one of her studies on the Purpose Driven Life, and it was just such a blessing for us. She had invited, she had gave the book out to all the people in the neighborhood. So when Sandy and I went to that study, we thought it was just all Christians there. Well, it wasn't that way. And some people were like believing in all kinds of gods. And it was quite a challenging study, and it was just a blessing to us to be there. And we're glad you're here today, Karen. And so we stayed at the service, and we really enjoyed the service. I wanted to talk to Ian because we have things in common. I knew he plays guitar and I play guitar, so that was a great start. And I was just talking with Ian about how we were looking for a new church. And Ian said one decisive question to us. He said, whatever church you go to, you need to decide where you're going to grow. So we left Hope that day, and we just were just blessed and moved by the Spirit. And we pondered that question that Ian said. And I said to Sandy, would you be willing to come back to Hope next week?
So I said, yeah, let's do it. And so we came back the next week and the next week and the next week, and 9 years later, we're still here. And we just couldn't believe that the very first church we visited would actually be a church where we settled. But as Diane pointed out, this became our church, our spiritual family, for all the reasons that you mentioned also. And we've just grown in so many ways. You know, Dave joining the worship team. I served on the women's ministry with Diane, which was a really fun year. The prayer team, I mean, PowerPoint, we did that back in the very beginning when all the controls were right in the back on the same floor, same level, so it was challenging. I was also involved with the Genesis Task Force as Genesis prepared to launch into their own ministry. And we visited them a couple of weeks ago in their new location, and Michael Davis spent quite a bit of time with us after the service, and he said, you know, I've never forgotten how much you were involved at that in the beginning of Genesis launching, and you're forever going to be part of this community, and we're so glad to see that you still have an interest, and we do. I mean, we've watched a lot of young people grow up here, and it's hard for me to say that because I still sort of feel like I'm one of them, my own little private Idaho there. But the other thing that we really enjoy about Hope is the diversity of age groups, of ethnicity, where people are at in their walks with Christ. And it's all just helped us to grow more as well. So, back to you.
I want to talk about some of the life-changing events that have happened since we've been at Hope. We have a lot of them, and I'm sure everyone has a lot of them, but we're going to share a few of them. In 2005, at the age of 51, I had a heart attack, and I thought I was in pretty good shape. I wasn't in great shape, but I thought I was in pretty good shape. And at beginning of November 3rd, I joined the gym at work, and I worked out for 2 weeks in a row, running every day, really trying to get back in shape, and then I had a heart attack 2 weeks later. So what's that say about exercise? But anyway, I remember getting home the next day, and Ian called me right away, and he was really concerned and wanted to know what happened, how I was doing, prayed over me, and it was just such a blessing, such a comfort. And, of course, he wanted to help out. He said, what can I bring? Can I bring you a souffle? I don't think he ever brought it either. And then in 2007, Ian called me up and said, Dave, I'm going to England with Liz, and could you fill in and lead worship? And I tell you, I was a little bit afraid. I really was. But I said, yes, I'll do it, Ian. And my first task was to get on the phone and call worship team members. And everyone I called was on vacation. And I'm dreading, I'm going to be the only one up there. And one of the last calls I made was to Allie Whitfield, and she said yes. And it was just such a blessing, singing with Allie and leading worship that Sunday. And I was so blessed, and I hope you were too, you know. And I think Sandy's going to talk about some of her life-changing events too.
I've had a couple over 9 years. One of them was certainly dealing with Dave's heart attack. And what I also loved is Ian called and spoke to me, and he said, I know that this is difficult for Dave. He's going through a lot physically. But how are you doing? And I thought, you know, the focus really had definitely been on Dave, rightly so, but I was so grateful that you asked, and it just made me stop and think, oh, yeah, I better keep it together here. There have also been a couple of times I've had a very significant job change, and, you know, Ian, your counseling during that period of time was just invaluable to me. I really appreciate that you are able to stand in and help. And then just the friends that I've made going through some other personal trials with family and kids and so forth. So this church really has become a strong spiritual family, but just our friends too. So we're really grateful for all of you. And for those who started out 20 years ago, you really have established something just amazing here, and so God-driven and so spirit-alive that we feel very grateful to be part of it. So Ian, you charged us 9 years ago with finding a church where we thought that we would grow. And so we found it here at Hope Christian Church.
Thank you. Paul and Anina?
All right, so we are the newcomers here. So I think they summed it all well, don't you think? So God is good. When we first came to the Boston area, we moved away from our family, and it was really hard on us. We didn't have a family. My parents and his parents they are halfway across the world. So when we moved here, church embraced us. When we came in, our first contact was Michael Bradford, and his warmth and just the way of caring just was so amazing. When we came here, we felt like this is where God led us. We were almost given up finding a home church. We were like for a year without a home church. We were trying to go around. We lived in Woburn, but still we didn't know that Hope Christian Church existed. But God brought us here. And also, even during some tough times in my life, like a few years ago, my mom was very sick, and we thought that she wouldn't make it. At that time, I remember just the warmth and care of all the people around here. And I remember Jenny DiMuzio coming to me with a flower and just encouraging me, praying with me. And praise God, God heard our prayers, and my mom is well today. So, and even when my mom came here to this church, she was so thrilled by this church. And she said, you are definitely in a very good group of believers in the community. So I'm so thankful for that. And how has the Hope Church blessed me is through the teaching. Thank you, Todd, for your sermons and it's godly. Last week even, I just remember I was so convicted about all my things, about how I'm doing things. You know, sometimes I just watch these cartoons and TV. Is that glorifying God? I stopped to think about it. And then me and Paul, we both talked about it and we made a decision. We are not going to do that. And we stopped. Praise God for that. And trust me, I have so much time now, I could do other things. And also, we come from a family. We were both of our parents are Christians, and we come from a family where, especially Paul's sister is a missionary. She's works in the northern part of India, and Paul's brother was dedicated to the Lord, so soon he will also be in ministry. So I remember my mother-in-law introducing us. Oh, this is my daughter. She's in the ministry. Oh, this is my son. Soon he will be in the ministry. And this is my oldest son. He's in the U.S. So I always felt like I was a worldly person, that I didn't amount to anything. So especially whenever she was so proud that both her children were going to be in the ministry and we didn't amount to anything, it made me feel really bad. But in 2010... Andy gave a message. It was called the Steward of Creation. He said, when you are doing the will of God, you are in God's mission, wherever you may be. And he also said, it's just sacred in the eyes of God for you to sit behind a desk in the office as it is for a preacher to stand behind the pulpit on a Sunday morning. That hit me like a ton of bricks. I realized, this is my mission. I may not go to a mission field. So far, God hasn't called me. But I know wherever I am called to work, that's my mission field. So God has used some amazing men, especially the leaders of this church, and not only the leaders, their wives. It would be bad for me not to even mention that some of my best friends are the wives of the leaders here. they have encouraged me, they have supported me, and they have been a tremendous source of encouragement for me. Finally, coming to what God has helped me through this is rediscover my spiritual gifts. Many years ago, I took a life keys where you had to sit and fill out what God's spiritual gifts are. At that time, I knew that fellowship and hospitality came into that. I never gave a second thought about it because I thought, where am I going to use it? Which church am I going to use these gifts for? And I completely forgot about it. And after coming to this church, when the leaders approached me about leading the fellowship team, I was really humbled and like scared in a sense, like, what am I going to do? What do I have? Still to this day, I don't know why they asked me that. But the thing was, it was really, and I went back to the Life Keys book and I opened the book and boy, to my surprise, it did say those are the gifts. So God helped some godly men to rediscover my gifts. And to this day, I'm so thankful that we have been able to grow. Now to Paul.
So I think many of them touched on this topic, that spiritual growth. Hope Church brought spiritual growth in our lives, and no other church we attended in the past helped in spiritual growth. It could be because it was too big or it was not the focus of the church. So all I can say is that intentional discipleship, and especially Ian, you're helping me, helped me grow. And the other aspects of the church that helped me is the sound teaching, men's ministry, and love and respect small group run by Tom and Carolyn Einan, and of course Andy's theology of work. So sound teaching helped us grow and know the word much more than we could have ever strived to do. And along with, when I'm saying sound teaching, it's along with spending time with Ian on processing it, because I'm a reflective person. Men's ministry, I remember Mr. Al Chalela just reeled me in to the men's ministry first, and I never wanted to go to the men's ministry, but it has been, every year, it has been a life-changing event for me and putting me in the right path. And again, going back to the discipleship is key in processing whatever God has been doing in my life. And theology of work made me a better person at work. And love and respect made me a better husband, I hope. And youth ministry helped us connect with our kids in a different culture, in a different way, because we came from a different culture where parenting was completely different, and it has helped us rethink and helped us connect with our kids. So this church has helped us grow tremendously in every aspect of our life, and I want to thank the church for that. Thank you.
I naively thought I would have time to preach. And I think you've probably heard what you need to hear this morning. And I think what I heard is God works through his people. Whether there are many or few, God's at work. And I look around and see lots of space where I would dream that more and more people would be able to have the same kind of testimonies that we just heard. And I know that there are many of you who could share similar testimonies. And I pray that God would continue to do the work that he has begun. The Bible tells us that God is faithful, that he will complete the work he started. And today, I think I want to say thank you to David and Ruth Chamberlain for decades of praying. Decades of praying. Not that they've stopped, but seeking the Lord, trying, inviting people to Bible studies, and it failing, and then trying again, and there was a heartbeat that came alive. And God gave birth to a little church called Hope, and he planted this little church right in the center of Winchester. And here we are. And one thing we know about the God we serve is he does not give birth to something he will let die. Right? Israel coming through the wilderness after being in Egypt, and what was their constant refrain? Did you bring us out here to kill us? It's a wilderness out here. Why have you done this? How many times setting up and tearing down and moving? And you know, Dave talks about the blackbirds pecking at the windows during the sermons during the years at Lynch School, and all of the difficulties that have been embraced, and yet God delivers his people to grant life, not death. He doesn't bring forth life in order just to kill it. And so as long as we stand true to teaching God's word and being obedient to the clear biblical teachings, I think the Lord will prosper this people. And I ask you to pray that we would once again, as we move forward into a new ministry year, be able to see the Lord do some things that are surprisingly wonderful. Because, please read the annual report. I was going to highlight a few points, so I won't mess with it. But one thing that I think of, when you look back over a year, you could look back and hear wonderful stories and see wonderful memories, and all of the goodness comes to view. But it depends on kind of how you're wired, because you can look back and see a whole bunch of stuff you wish you wouldn't see, right? You can look back and see everything that's not there, or you can look back and see everything that's missing. And as I stand today and was asking, can I celebrate today? I mean, I can look back over the past year and I could lament all the people who aren't here rather than rejoicing in everyone who is here. I could look out at a congregation and say, the 20-somethings are absent now. We've planted Genesis a few years ago, but where is everyone? Or I could look out and see a handful who I met with this week who we sat over chips and salsa and dreamed about once again, let's start something for 20-somethings. Let's do something different. And see some excitement in their faces. So it depends on what you look at. You can look back and grieve that there are a lot of shares empty. Or you can look back and say, maybe God's just going to prepare us to do something wonderful. And that's what happened to me a few weeks ago. I was trimming some trees in the backyard. The boys were playing soccer and they were hitting all the limbs. And so there was this plea, can you please cut down these silly limbs? So I did. And as I was cutting, it got darker and darker. So I could see less and less of what I was actually doing. And the next morning, I looked out at the tree and I thought, oh my gosh, I've trimmed the thing to death. But then I remembered something. I thought, you know, I thought the same thought about 3 years ago when I did this, when I trimmed all the tree branches off. It looked really bare. And suddenly it's all filled out. You might be tempted to think, Elvie, we're kind of bare. We're a lot thinner than hope used to be. But I don't think we should despair. I think we should have hope in a mighty God who can say, and just creating room for some more fruitfulness. I firmly believe that's exactly what the Lord is going to do. So I give thanks for 20 years of faithfulness. I give thanks for all that the Lord has done. I give thanks for dedicated people who have poured out their lives to see that the name of Jesus is continually exalted through this people. And I beg you, pray to the Lord God Almighty that there will be another generation of people who, when we're all dead and buried, will stand here and give the same testimonies. Pray. Because there is a God who can make it happen, right? So I want to give thanks for him. Would you just stand and let's pray together? And I'm going to give you about 30 seconds of silent prayer for you to give thanks to the Lord for maybe how you have been blessed through this church over the years. Just think back and say, here's a blessing that I have received through the ministries of Jesus Christ through the people that meet here. Just bow your heads, close your eyes, focus to the Lord, ask him, what is it that you'd want to bring to my mind right now that I'd be thankful for? Lord God Almighty, you are Lord in heaven and God of this earth. You control all things. At your word, the sun comes up every morning. And at your command, the coolness of the night slides in. Lord, we have heard of all that you have done in lives over the past 20 years. Father, I pray that you would grant that the same kinds of testimonies to your activity through this people would continue for another 20 years and another 120 years, as long as we have until Jesus comes back. But Lord, I pray that you would pour out your blessing on Hope Church for the sake of the glorification of the name of Jesus and for the good of your people. So God, let us now sing with thankful hearts, with grateful hearts. We ask your blessings upon all that will come up in this next ministry year, and we look forward to coming back again next week to hear more about that. But Lord, may your Spirit fill us, and may we rejoice right now in all of the good things that you have done to our lives. So we celebrate you, Jesus, who through you, according to 1 Corinthians, every promise in the Old Testament is a yes. Thank you, God, for that kind of fulfillment through Jesus. Lord, we love you and we praise you. Amen.